You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Was gliding in the minutes before impact. The plane was flying from Lancaster, Pennsylvania to Norwood and struck the roof of a home in Plainville before bursting into flames. Four people in the home, including two children, escaped unharmed. France has expelled 12 radical imams and preachers since the beginning of the year and a total of 40 since 2012. The interior minister tells Europe One Radio that France will not tolerate preachers of hatred. He spoke 3 days after last week's beheading at a U.S.-owned gas factory. The assailant had been flagged in 2006 for ties to radical Muslims. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, financial advisor at Patton Hidine Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement, like will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hidine Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the four key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Patton Hidine Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
The weather today is mostly sunny with a high near 79. West winds around 9 miles per hour. Tonight will be partly cloudy with a low around 60 with calm winds. Yeah, okay, I can speak. Tuesday is a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Partly sunny with a high near 83. South wind 6 to 11 miles per hour. The chance of precipitation is 40%. New rainfall amounts of less than a tenth of an inch, except for higher amounts possible during thunderstorms. Tuesday night, showers, thunderstorms likely, mostly cloudy with a low around 68, south winds 3 to 8 miles an hour. The chance of precipitation is 60%. New rainfall amounts between a tenth and a quarter of an inch, except again, could be possibly higher during the thunderstorms. Wednesday, there's a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a high near 87, west winds 5 to 11 miles an hour, and the chance of precipitation is 40%. And Wednesday night, there's a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms before midnight. Anything new? Partly cloudy with a low around 63, and the chance of precipitation is 20%. Well, that's a slight chance then. 20% isn't that big. Welcome to Mental Health Matters. This is NAMI's hour. Compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. And NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. And there is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state, every state in the union, and overseas. In Hunterdon County, we're all volunteers. We have no office. We work out of our houses, and we don't get paid. We use our own phones and so on and so forth. But our objective is to try to help families who may have someone in their family or someone they know or close to who has a mental health issues. And we try to help the people who have mental health issues find the right avenue to alleviate their suffering. We do this through teaching courses, classes. We have a 12-week, what they call family-to-family class for families who have someone or they know that's an adult, 18 or older. We have a basics course, which is, I believe, 7 weeks for families who have children, anywhere up to 17, and they can be as low as 5. We have support groups where people can come and not be judged and tell their stories. And most of the people there either have been there, done that, or are going through the same problems. And we do presentations. So if you'd like to reach out to NAMI We have a phone number. It's 908-285-0500. It is a line. You leave a message. There's a line. We have a volunteer that checks it twice a day, and we guarantee we'll be back to you within 24 hours. Today, I'm Larry Cartwright, the host of Mental Health Matters, and today we're very privileged to have with us Colleen Duer. Is that correct? Did I say
that right? That's right. You got it, Larry. Thank you. Well done.
And she is the Development Director for Family Promise. Now, Family Promise, for those of you that do not know, was formerly Interfaith Hospitality. And my first question is, why the name change, Colleen?
Well, it is a good question, because for many years, this organization is actually a part of a national organization. Okay. So Hunterdon County is a chapter. We're one of, I think, now 187 chapters in 48 states.
Okay.
And just a real quick background before I answer the question, the program was actually started by a woman named Karen Olson in Summit, New Jersey, who was doing some feeding programs for the homeless, and one day was really struck by a certain woman who sort of took the sandwich but then asked her to sit and talk with her. And that's where Karen realized that, you know, conversation was as valuable as a meal.
Right.
And so she started looking at forming a traditional homeless shelter, like one that we're very familiar with. And as I understand the story, it was just thwarted. Things just weren't happening. And one day she looked at a church and said, you know, there are classrooms and office space and rooms in these churches that sit idle sometimes 6 days a week.
Right.
So, and no matter what the faith, you know, there's one day where those rooms are being used, and then in many cases, 6 days where they're not. And so she had this creative solution and started the Interfaith Hospitality Network, which is a network of churches of all denominations that provide shelter to our guests. So our guests actually on nights and on weekends go to a different church for a week at a time. Okay. And so it was formed as the Interfaith Hospitality Network way back in about 1989. Hunterdon County, I'm proud to say, was one of the very first chapters on board with IHN. So we've been around since 1990. This is our 25th year that we're celebrating.
That's
very proud of that.
Yep.
A couple of years ago, IHN as a national organization decided to change the name. And I'm sure that there are some reasons that go towards the religious aspect of the organization. Because if you say Interfaith Hospitality, there may be a presumption that it is religious and that there's a requirement to be religious. It really is not a religious-based organization, surprisingly, even though we rely on our congregations.
Right.
As I explained, it's all about use of space. Mm-hmm. And because we literally have faiths all across the board, we welcome the Flemington Jewish Community Center on board as a host congregation this year. Mainline Presbyterian, Catholic, Unitarian, LDS, you name it. We welcome all faiths. Not only that, but our volunteers, although they typically do come from those houses of worships, they can come from the community at large.
Right.
So there is no faith requirement. And so that's why I say we are not a religious-based organization. There is zero discrimination, either to be in our program or to volunteer with our program. So that's one of the reasons that National changed it. The other reason is, started realizing that we were all doing more than just shelter. The nice thing about being part of a national organization, this particular one, I should say, is that we are not a true franchise in the sense that each county or each chapter is encouraged to meet the needs of their community. So what works
whatever
in Hunterdon County is not
be
going to work in Spokane, maybe not in Tuscaloosa. We all have different needs in the community. We all have different government fund, state-funded programs that we need to react to. And we all have different programs available and different programs missing. And so because of that, we all started doing more than just shelter. You know, our shelter, for example, we do homeless prevention programs. We have a mental health program. We do neighbors in need. We do rapid rehousing. We have sustainable housing. Those are outside the bounds of just shelter.
Right.
And so really National felt like we needed to change the name that representing something more all-encompassing, which is what we do. And so Family Promise really works because we are making a promise to families. We're not just a drop-in emergency shelter. We're a long-term program.
Mm-hmm.
We are literally making a promise to families that we're going to help them on the path to long-term stability.
Which is awesome, actually.
It is awesome.
You know, when you stop and think about it, it is. I mean, you know, those of us who haven't ever been homeless, you know, we may look at, you see New York. I was born in New York, in Brooklyn. and you see people that are homeless, you know, and they're laying on a street corner over a vent or something in the winter to stay warm, you know, and it's just, you know, it is an awesome program that you have, and I'm just 100% behind it. I think
it's wonderful. Well, thank you. And I do love it. I do. But it is an important distinction, because I'm sorry to say, in Hunterdon County, we don't have a homeless shelter per se, right. Which would serve the chronically homeless that you described, or even those that just need a sort of stopgap, you know, place to stay.
Right.
You know, that's the bad news. And, you know, we are not trying to be all things to all people. We don't think it's healthy to try and do that. And so, again, because we're about long-term stability, and we do have capacity issues. Right. We can take four families or up to 14 people at a time. That's why our guests stay with us longer. So where we may not serve as many families as a traditional shelter, the idea is that we don't want to see those families again.
Right.
We love them. We miss them. We wish them well. We have pictures of their kids.
Right.
We adore them, but we don't want to see them back in the shelter.
Right. Exactly.
And we typically don't. It does happen, but it's really unusual.
Would you explain how your shelter program works?
Sure. So the way our program works is that we have a day center in Flemington, New Jersey, and that's at the Flemington Presbyterian Church, and that's where our guests come to during the day. Unless they're working or doing a work search program or maybe going to school, that's their sort of home during the day. They have a day room to hang out in where they store their things. They have a playroom, a kitchen, and shower facilities. And then at about 5 o'clock, the link comes and picks them up and takes them to one of our host congregations throughout the county. We have 14 host congregations. And as I said, those are multi-denominational.
Right.
And so they go to that church or house of worship in the evening. And that is completely staffed by volunteers.
Right.
So from 5 or 5:30 in the evening through 6:30 in the morning, it's staffed by volunteers. Some churches do two shifts, some do three. But the dinner shift is where you would bring a meal and share it with our guests. So it's not a soup kitchen situation.
Yeah.
Right. So it's a great opportunity to sit down and talk with people. Right. And then there's maybe a second shift in the middle there. And then there's an overnight shift where, as a volunteer, you literally spend the night at the church.
Right.
And you're there to provide care and companionship. And what I consider the most important element, respect for our families.
Right.
And it's a great program of neighbors helping neighbors. So, as you well know, anybody who's volunteered with us can't claim that we don't have a homelessness problem in Hunterdon County.
Right.
So it's great for community awareness. It's great for our guests, because while it can seem chaotic that you're literally going back and forth, and then on Sunday you go to another church and then another church, it's such a great opportunity for the community to show their love for our clients, to show them that they're important and that they matter. So that's really, that's not a small thing.
No, it's not, actually, you know, and like I said, my wife, it's ironic because my wife was born and raised Lutheran, and then halfway through our marriage, she decided to go Methodist, and I stayed Lutheran, and I was born and raised Catholic. So, but her friends of hers from her church, they call themselves the Shady Ladies. I don't know why, but they do. And they meet weekly and, you know, play games and talk and stuff like that. But they go up to Zion Lutheran Church in Old Wick when your guests are there, and they bring dinner and sit and talk to them, and you know, and I think it's awesome. I really do. I think that it's
a great volunteer opportunity, and it's great for. I actually started. I've been on staff for about 3 years now, but actually have been volunteering for. I have to think about how old my son is. You know, 13 years or so. Our family got involved through our church, Bethlehem Presbyterian in Pittstown, and started doing these dinner shifts with our kids, because it was such a
great... My friend, Reverend Laurie.
Your Reverend Laurie.
Right.
We love her.
Yes.
It was such a neat opportunity for us to volunteer with our kids, and those are hard to come by.
Right.
We unfortunately live in a litigious society, and so there are age limits placed upon different volunteer opportunities, and this was really fun because, you know, we didn't tell our kids that we were eating with homeless people.
Right.
We just said, we're going to go have dinner with some people at church. And, you know, play is the great equalizer.
Sure.
You don't have to have a house to spin or play basketball
or,
you know, play a board game. So they really had a great opportunity to spend time, understand that these are people just like us, families just like us. And when we came home, we'd say, where do you think those kids are going? And they'd say, home. And we would explain, not so much. So it was just a great, I think it's a great learning opportunity for kids.
Absolutely.
They are welcome to volunteer as long as there's someone over 21 with them.
Right.
So I think it's incredibly powerful to be able to do that with kids.
And I have to say, because I know when you spoke the last time we talked, mm-hmm. And I had asked you, I believe, is it only women who you help serve? And
my answer was
no.
No.
There's men who have children who,
yes.
for whatever reason, they're the sole parent, mm-hmm. whatever the case may be. So, yeah, you do help.
We do have couples, you know, yeah, an intact right. family who may come in. It is overwhelmingly single moms.
Right.
However, over the last couple of years, we've seen more single dads, which is right. just, it's just interesting. I don't know what it means necessarily, but it is interesting to note these are shifts that are cultural shifts, I guess,
right.
that are happening.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. We have to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a moment. You've been listening to Mental Health Matters, and we'll be right back.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
I'm Frank Peluso, Frank Peluso Photography, and I belong to the Chamber because it works.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntertonChamberRadio.com app today.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we have with us today a very special guest, Colleen Duer, who is the Development Director for Family Promise. And we explained the difference of why it used to be formerly known as Interfaith Hospitality and is now Family Promise. And I understand, you know, we're in Hunterdon County, and Hunterdon County, I guess their reputation is, I don't know, third richest county in the state or something
yeah,
like some that.
Somewhere third, fourth, something
third,
like
fourth,
that.
Whatever. It's in the top five, put mm-hmm. it that way. So the general population of Hunterdon County does not realize or believe that there is a homeless population in this county. And I will say to anybody who is familiar with Hunterdon County, go to the Walmart, walk in the back of it, you'll see a railroad track that run behind it. On the other side of the railroad track, there's a tent city. I know a husband and wife who live in that tent city. I know another young man who has been living there. So it is there. you know, there is homelessness, and it could be through any number of things. You know, it could be through people with a mental health issue. It could be because they lost their job, they're broke, they lost their house, whatever. I have no place to go, have no family, whatever the case may be. You know, would you speak to the struggles that a minimum wage person or employee in this county has with finding home?
Sure. You know, and I think one important point to make, and you kind of alluded to this in that introduction, was a lot of our folks just don't have a support system. So really understanding, you know, and I think it's important for all of us who have that support system to really value it and not
absolutely,
you know, underestimate it. And yes, it's true that we are one of the wealthiest counties in the country. We are also one of the most expensive places to live. And
I keep asking myself, what are we doing? What am I doing here with my wife? Right. What are my wife and I doing here? You know, it should be someplace else.
It can be a struggle. And, you know, just as an example, the fair market rent, which is a HUD guideline for what can be paid for in terms of rental assistance, is $1,458 for a two-bedroom apartment. That's considered, you know, your housing costs. That includes utilities. $1,458 a month for a two-bedroom apartment. So if you are a single mom and you're working a minimum wage job, if you're lucky enough to get full-time hours, which is, you know, really lucky, you know, you're probably bringing home, depending on the number of hours you work, somewhere between $1,200 and $1,800 a month. I mean, the math just simply doesn't work.
Right.
And as I expressed to you offline, you know, I've had people express complete shock that we can have people in our homeless shelter who are working.
Right.
And yes, it's absolutely true. Many people who are in our shelter come in with jobs. Many of them get jobs while they're with us, and some get jobs after they leave. Mm-hmm. But it is still really, really hard.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And especially like we were talking too, companies tend to now not want to give somebody more than 30 hours because then they have to offer them health benefits or retirement or whatever, and they don't want to do that. So they keep it from under 30 hours.
Right.
And they don't have, then legally they don't have to offer it.
And remember that we're dealing with a lot of single moms, and so the child care facilities are available Monday through Friday. So if you're told you have to work weekends, you know, you're in trouble.
Sure.
So again, without that support system, until you develop one, which, you know, many of our clients are very, very resourceful. So they will do, you know, maybe some kind of a trade-off, a barter. They'll take another child, whatever. But, you know, there's an analogy we've been using at the beginning of this year that we realized that affordable housing is a really big issue and there's never enough of it. Believe me, there's nowhere near enough of it. But there's really four issues at play for our clients. It's not just about housing. It's the four legs of their table are housing, employment, childcare, and in our county, transportation. Mm-hmm. We do not have a really strong public transportation system. Having said that, I do have to give a shout out to the Link because they are really, really good to us. We have a great partnership with them. They do transport our guests for us, which is an incredible savings to our agency. So we're very grateful for the partnership we have while they're in the shelter. But in terms of being able to work, it can be a challenge. And so transportation is a real struggle. We do have a car donation program, for example, because that can make a complete turnaround.
Sure.
And I can tell you a story of a young lady who came into the shelter last year, really had exhausted a lot of her resources, exhausted a lot of avenues. And so finally, you know, came into the shelter. By the way, second generation homeless, she was in the shelter with her mother and her sisters a few years prior. However, really smart, capable young lady. It took a little bit of time, but she had the intention of going to, you know, exiting to Warren County because she didn't have a car. She wanted to do a phlebotomy program. It wasn't offered at Warren County Community College, but she would have just figured out something to do there. As it was, we got a car donated right at that time, which then allowed her to stay in Hunterdon County, go to Raritan Valley Community College, and get her phlebotomy certification, which will take her from the $10 an hour she was making to, you know, 15, 16, 17. Great story. She loved her clinical so much that she wants to stay in school and get her LPN.
That's awesome.
So you're taking, you know, and we're working with her through a sustainable housing program that we offer.
Right.
It's a small program, but it's where we can help people with rent while they get an education. So we're taking our former shelter clients and really kind of helping to permanently stabilize them. So you can see there where the car, you know, certainly our sustainable housing program was incredibly helpful to her. But it really was the car that made the big difference there. And then, as I said, childcare is really becoming more and more problematic.
Right.
There are vouchers available for childcare, free childcare, but there's an excess fee. The childcare centers in our area that waived that excess fee are closing. They just couldn't economically make it happen. And so, as I understand it, there are four of those that closed within the last year, 18 months in Flemington alone.
Right.
So, you know, these are the four factors that really, you know, you got to stabilize.
And each one isn't any more important than the next in my eyes. That they're all,
right.
You know, if you, how can you go to work if you don't have any place to put your children? You
right.
know, how do you get to work if, you know, the link doesn't run there or whatever?
Right.
You know, it's just one thing after another, you know. And if you're making minimum wage or even, you know, $15 an hour and your rent is going to be $1,400, $1,500, $1,600.
Right.
You know,
and you know,
like,
I hear, you know, I get a lot, I hear a lot of, you know, well, if they would just get a job, well, they do.
And you know, that the thing is too, that I'm not, I don't want to get into a big, you know, government thing, but people are, have problems. They try to get jobs and then they run into obstacles, you know, for, oh, well, you're making $15 an hour and you're working 4 days a week. Well, you know, we have to cut back on your food
right.
stamps.
It's
we have to cut back
clip.
On this and we have to
right.
cut back on that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what incentive do people have to go and do the things that we want them to do? We're always saying, well, this is great. We have incentives. They should go out and get jobs. They should go out and do this and do that. And then they do, and they get some of the benefits cut back.
Right.
You know, and they're not making 40 grand a year, you know,
no,
by
I mean,
any
we've,
stretch.
We've definitely
you know?
Done budgets for different clients and seen it's called the benefits cliff. So it's
right.
basically when you reach that point, you know, where you are working, your hours are stabilized, your income is going up, then you start losing your SNAP benefits
right.
and you start losing your child care subsidy. And it's a real challenge. And, you know, gosh, wouldn't it be nice if Larry and I could solve that problem on a global level.
Yeah, really.
But it's
even on a local level,
right,
it would be nice.
Right.
You know, but.
Yeah, it's a struggle. So, you know, all we can do as an agency is understand that and, you know, plea to the community to, you know, be a part of the solution.
Right.
You know,
right.
whatever we can do to help our clients. We do have a Neighbors in Need Fund, and that is for our shelter clients. But, you know, once they get housing, it's great. It's exciting. We can outfit them with donated furniture if they need it.
Mm-hmm.
All that is fantastic, but we still have to help them for some period of time because
right.
they're not just going to be okay.
Right.
You know, one car repair bill can just,
oh yeah,
that's a tailspin.
Absolutely.
And our, you know, it's a limited amount of funding, but you know, our feeling is if that's what keeps you going to work, then that's a critical need.
Right.
If you can't get to work because your car isn't working, then we got you back in that tailspin, and we don't want to do that if we can help it.
Yeah, and it's true because, you know, like we were talking off the air, my son, he has his own apartment in, you know, in Flemington. He has Section 8 housing,
mm-hmm.
and he had been volunteering at the hospital for 4 days a week, and he just got, a couple months ago, got a part-time job at BJ's handing out samples, you know,
mm-hmm.
to, you know, buy Kool-Aid
love
or whatever.
Guys.
Yeah, I love them too. You know, you can go there and eat. You know, keep walking around. No. But he gets a letter that if his income is X, he could lose this benefit or that benefit. And I'm saying, you know, all these years they've been trying to get him to go to work and
right.
get a job, and now he's finally got a job. Now they're taking away his benefits.
Right.
I mean, it's just, you shake your head. You say, Lord, you know. All right, till the end of the year, he can make as much as he wants, which, you know, that's fine. But after the first of the year, he's got to be careful
mm-hmm.
because he can lose his
right.
benefits.
And, you know, we've got parents who have to make difficult decisions in that regard because they, you know, to some extent, if you're going into work, you're rolling the dice.
Exactly.
Are you going to, you know, be able to keep those hours that you were promised? And, you know, that
right.
can be
right.
that can be a challenge. Having said that, we've had some really great success stories. And
yeah, no, but I understand that. But, you know, by the same token, I was saying it's just like the system works against the people that they want to try to help.
Right.
They push the people to get help and do this and do that. And they people that do, and, you know, and obviously not all do, but a lot do. And then they turn around and they're chopping right. them off at the limbs again.
And sometimes
you know?
You look at it on a global level and you go, well, that makes sense on paper.
Yeah.
But, you right. know, in real life, it's more complicated than
yeah.
that.
Yeah. And unfortunately, a lot of times the people who are making the paper have never lived the, you know, never walked the walk.
Oh, that's for sure, yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, but I don't know. It's just. With your families and people that you help, do you find you have a lot of mental health issues?
Well, it's funny you should ask that because I was working on a grant application when I first joined the agency as an employee. And my co-director is Donna Michelson. She's mm-hmm. incredible. She handles all the case management. And she's also my guru. She teaches me everything I need to know. And I said, so Donna, what percentage of our clients have mental health issues? And she quickly responded, well, 100. And I thought, well, duh, that makes sense because you've just declared yourself homeless. So we're dealing with depression and anxiety at the very
sure.
least. In some cases, maybe a need for family counseling or family therapy. And in some cases, we have people coming in with longer term mental health, existing
right.
conditions. We do take referrals from Safe and Hunterdon. Obviously, because we are relying on our volunteers, we're careful about, you know, making mm-hmm. sure it's not a high risk situation. But
right.
that's, you know, there's plenty of those where it's not in any way a risk to our volunteers. But, you know, when you're dealing with someone who's coming from a domestic violence shelter, you're going to have some inherent mental health struggles.
Right. And that's Safe and Hunterdon deals a lot with that.
Sure. Sure. Right. So and we have a great partnership with them. So. Yeah, there are a lot of mental health issues, and that was one need. You know, we try as an agency not to reinvent the wheel. So if mm-hmm. there are programs out there that our clients can access, we're going to tap into those programs, and Donna's going to make referrals out. We do partner really well with a lot of different agencies in the county.
Right.
And so why, you know, duplicate efforts? Mental health, unfortunately, was one program where there just wasn't enough support out there, and to wait for services through the county could take up to 3 months. And you know, we have people in a crisis situation.
Sure.
This isn't going to work. So we created the mental health program. So what that does is it provides access to professional therapists and counselors who discount their rates for us, for our clients.
Mm-hmm.
And we allow our clients, if needed, to, you know, well beyond when they leave the shelter. If that's what they need to become stabilized, then we're going to do what we can to provide that. We're very, very fortunate. We do have a grant from Merck, so I got to give a shout out because they Thanks. Really do. They help fund this program, and it's incredibly valuable. We also have a music therapy program. So on Tuesday nights, Matisse Wins comes to the overnight shelter sites, and he does an hour with, you know, song and dance with the kids, and it's just fantastic. And then recently, just this year, we added a class called Parenting in a Crisis.
Okay.
Because what we were finding is that we are so blessed to have volunteers that, you know, are at these shelter sites to provide the care. However, our clients often feel very, you know, in a fishbowl, you know, and really
sure.
I have to give Donna the credit. She, you know, kind of called it parenting in a fishbowl, which you kind of are. So if you think about, you know, how difficult it is to parent, and then how difficult it is to parent in front of other people, and then how difficult it is to parent in front of other people in this really strange situation where you're with people you didn't ask to be with, you know, living in a church, and you know, it's
right.
very, very,
right.
very difficult. So we have a professional who comes in and meets with the parents, usually the moms, on Thursday nights, and they love it. They
yeah.
absolutely
I can
love it. They are benefiting
that.
So much. He's just helping out with some tips and tactics and communication ideas. And again, that falls under the mental health piece of it because they're really stressed.
Of course. And you know, having never been in that situation, I can only imagine, you know, how stressed that be. I mean, if you stop and think, you know, you got your house, you got your cars, you got your, you know, and all of a sudden now you don't have any of that.
Right.
And you have no place to go. You have no family. You have no, you know, nobody that can help you. You know, what do? You know, and it's so.
And there's and all that burden is on our parents.
Right.
You know, the
yeah.
kids do really well in our program. I have
sure.
to tell you, the kids, you know. very often have fond memories of, because that's where the volunteers are incredible.
Right.
You know, they get the attention and playtime, and it's great.
But the parents.
It's tough on the parents.
Yeah, I would imagine it's very tough, you know. I know what it was like for us when our son got ill, mentally ill. And it was like, you know, just unbelievable because you just didn't know where to turn or what to do or who to go to or whatever. So, you know, I can understand from a parent's point of view, you know. And I have to say that for the first 6 years, my way of dealing with it was not dealing with it.
Right.
You know, my wife would want to talk about it. I'd go in the other room and read a book.
Well, we as a culture don't talk about it.
No, that's true.
And that's very frustrating. I'd like to see that change. I think
I would too. That's why that's what NAMI tries to do is break the stigma that's attached
awesome.
To
I mean, that's one of the reasons I'm so happy to be here today because we do need to shake that off.
Yeah, exactly. You know, because, you know, and then unfortunately with all the violence that you see in the paper and stuff about, you know, people shooting, you know, in the church and so on and so forth. But when you stop and think that on an average, just 1 in 4 people are affected by mental illness, that's the world population. That's not just New Jersey or the United States. And you think most of the people that suffer from mental health issues tend to be a victim and not the aggressor, not the perpetrator. So, you know, the news publicizes this, which, you know, I understand. I don't agree with, but I understand it. But, you know, it's just most people who have mental health issues are not going to go out and, you know, do these things.
Right, right.
You know, if you had someone, say for argument's sake, let's say me, okay?
Okay.
Use me as an example, okay? I have 4 kids, okay? I really do, you know? But, and say I'm homeless. How do you go about, do you screen? Do you, you know?
Well.
You know, what's the procedure, I guess, is what I'm asking for someone who comes to you and has nothing? Okay.
So what typically would happen is we would get a referral. Some people come to us directly. They have our number or they found us on the internet. Sometimes it's a referral from social services or Safe in Hunterdon or from another helpline, another agency. Mm-hmm. So what Donna will do then is do sort of a phone screening to explain what our program is and also explain that there are some expectations with the program in terms of, you know, it is a long term. You know, the idea is long term stability. So you have to kind of be on board with that. The people who are looking for just a quick place to spend a few nights, it's just not a good fit.
Right.
So she explains how our program works. If we have an opening, she will bring them in for an intake. If we don't, she'll put them on a wait list. And then as soon as an opening comes up, she will go back through her wait list and call those
people
back.
Now, let me ask you something. Those that are on the wait list, where are they?
Different places. A lot of people are living with family, but they've maybe maxed out what the tolerance level. That may be the case, or family is moving, or, you know, for whatever reason, but usually and very often that some are might be in their cars. Some people might, you know, during the time that they've been on the wait list may have found housing in another county. So being on the wait list does not necessarily suggest that every family on the wait list is out on the streets.
Okay.
That's actually not the case.
Okay.
And then Donna, when she has an opening, she will bring someone in for an intake interview. And that's a really lengthy process. That's a 2 to 3 hour process.
Okay.
And that's where you really, you know, the family really understands. There are some rules, you know, we're certainly, you know, not incarcerated, but there are some rules with the program. So she explains all of that, how the program works, kind of works through like a family tree to understand what the support system is there, what employment history they've had, any education, and really kind of works with them because it's that that launches the short-term goals and then the long-term goals that will ultimately help them find housing with her help.
And I understand you had said earlier that you help the families looking for employment. How do you go about doing that?
Well, that's a great example of, you know, not duplicating efforts. So we don't have an employment program in-house because there are several employment programs externally.
Mm-hmm.
If a family is receiving benefits, TANF or emergency assistance, then they would have to go to social services and do a Work First program. So they'll be doing employment programs through social services. Helpline also has a employment program, and then I believe Norwest CAP as well. So we would recommend that our clients access those programs in terms of employment. So we don't necessarily do that, but Don is going to provide the referrals out.
Isn't there... doesn't educational services also do the same?
Yes.
Help them
yes.
fill out resumes?
Right,
and,
the basics.
Right, yep. and try to get them, help them get jobs and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know because monthly we give presentations. NAMI gives presentations there monthly and has been for, I want to say, almost 2 years. And we're booked through the end of this year and they want to book us through next year. So
great.
But because I think it's a 30-day period. When somebody goes to ESC, it's like for 30 days, 5 days a week for 30 days. And
yeah, it's something like that. Donna's got it all
right.
memorized.
Yeah, and, no, it is. I believe it is because every month we go and there's a different group there.
Right.
You know, so
right.
it is that. But, it, you know, it's just, I can't imagine how stressful it must be. Say you're, you know, a single parent, either a father or a mother, it doesn't matter. And you have children, you're homeless. You don't have a job. You know, you have no income coming in. You don't know where, how you're going to feed your kids. That has got to be awful stressful. I mean, you know.
It is. And then you're moving around so much. It's,
right.
You know.
And it's got to be painful.
Well, it is very stressful. But then, you know, we get reports back from the churches and from the guests who say, you know, they took us out for ice cream or they, you know,
right.
invited us to the church picnic, you know, and something, sometimes those simple things are just so powerful.
Well, that's true. That's true.
It just, and, it just kind of breaks the monotony and it's, you know, it, I think it, the value of our volunteers, we really can't put a price on it because they do provide that. You know, when somebody says, I've got 2 or 3 hours to come and sit and talk with mm-hmm. you, you know, we've had clients just amazed. You know, why would they care enough to do that? So they're surrounded by people who care enough to give their
right.
time and spend time with them. So I think that helps a lot.
Right, right. You know, as you know, and I know, being a parent, under normal, quote-unquote, situations can be difficult enough.
Yep.
When you're in a crisis situation or you have to parent around volunteers.
Mm-hmm. And other parents with
parents,
other styles.
Right.
Yep.
Whatever. That's got to be difficult.
It is. It can be very difficult. You know, and it's also, we certainly try to have or encourage, you know, strict bedtimes and things like that. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it can be hard to get a kid settled down,
right.
you know, in a somewhat chaotic environment when they're a little bit off schedule. I think that makes a big difference. It can be really hard because you've got 3 or 4 families kind of existing together. The nice thing is, one of the great things about our program that I didn't really explain is that each family stays in a bedroom together. So a Sunday school classroom or an office space is converted into a bedroom for them for the week.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is that... And I've had some of our guests explain to me that it's the privacy that they appreciate so much. So sometimes they'll come into the church in the evening and just go right to their room and just sit for a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, and we've explained to our volunteers, please don't take that personally. They really just need, you know, we all need that, right?
Sure.
Sometimes you come in from work and you just, I just need to. You know, just some downtime. So that's their downtime. And I think being in this program provides that, where if they, a traditional shelter environment, it's not unusual for families to be separated. You
mm-hmm.
know, you could have male, female, you could have children, adults.
Right.
And so I think it's incredibly powerful to have our families in one room and having that privacy and the ability to just take a break.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. You know, it's like, you know, you want to help them, but sometimes, you know, they just want to be left alone for a little bit.
Right,
you
and
know?
Who can blame them?
You know, really, because we all have that. You know?
And, you know, it's a lot to, you know, I think our guests do an exceptional job, really, of being friendly and, you know, talking to our volunteers, you know, when they mm-hmm. come in at night. Because they also spend a lot of time on the link, which can be pretty exhausting.
Boring.
And with little kids, it's, you know, a little bit exhausting. So they really do a nice job of trying to, you know, make conversation and being, you know, respectful and communicating with volunteers. But I think it's fair enough sometimes to just say, excuse me.
Yeah.
You know,
let me have 10
right.
by myself.
Yeah.
Yep. We've got to take a quick break. You're listening to Mental Health Matters, and we'll be right back.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
I'm Frank Peluso, Frank Peluso Photography, and I belong to the Chamber because it works.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Unionville Vineyards is the perfect destination for wine tastings and tours, corporate events, birthday parties, or your special day. Located in East Amwell, New Jersey, Unionville Vineyards offers an escape from the rush of daily life and a chance to relax in the beautiful countryside. Our tasting room is open 7 days a week, 12 to 5 p.m., excluding major holidays. For more information, contact us at unionvillevineyards.com or call us at 908-788-0400.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
You're back with Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and I am very privileged to have with us today Colleen Doerr, who is a development director for the Family Promise, and we've been talking about people being homeless and helping what Family Promise does to help them. And I have this, you know, what are some issues that surround generational poverty?
Well, that is, you know, there are lists. You listed some of the causes of homelessness. There certainly, and there we see them all. We see loss of employment, relationship breakups, issues with family, you know, loss of housing. There's all kinds of reasons that people become homeless. Generational poverty is one that is, you know, pretty pervasive. And it's that's something that we see a lot. And we have a couple of programs, as I explained, and one of the new ones that we've developed in the last, say, year and a half or so is called Sustainable Housing. And that's a program that we developed in response to the fact that we were going to lose government funding. So we were losing, it's called HPRP, Homeless Prevention Rapid Rehousing Program, funding. And so we decided that, you know, and I was really proud of this because the board had a retreat and about a year and a half ago, and they said, you know, do we continue trying to provide these services on whatever scale we can, or do we just say, okay, this is a program that we can no longer offer? And the board voted unanimously to figure out a way to provide the service. And I was really, really proud of that. And so we created this sustainable housing program, which is very small. It is for our shelter clients who are looking to get an education.
Okay.
And, you know, I described to you one of our clients right. who, you know, got her phlebotomy certification. We have another woman who was an HPRP client, as a matter of fact, who had to do 600 hours of on-the-job training for medical death investigation. So she's looking to get that certification. She's looking to take the test and move on. Another woman who just started the program doing veterinary technician, and another one who is has finished an associate's degree in biology and a looking at finishing her bachelor's in chemistry. So she's kind of a rock star. And not all of them have I couldn't point to generational poverty for all right. of them, but most of them definitely. And so I think this is one opportunity to kind of break that cycle
mm-hmm.
to show.
Right.
And, you know, really, we're providing funding for housing so that they can then pursue this education because they have to cut hours back at work in order to be able to do this. Right. Because, you know, think yeah. about all the things that we talked about and then add to that. You're trying to go to school.
Right.
And so this is a real specialized program for that. And we can only pay for the housing. We don't take the tests or sit in the classroom. But we are cheerleaders. And it has been so exciting to see these women turn things around.
That's awesome. It really is. It just, you know, I can't imagine, you know, with all the other things that are going on is to go to school too, you know.
Right.
I think it's awesome that they do, but I just, you know.
It's fantastic, but it's so much work.
I just
work.
Don't know if
it's
I could
so
do it.
So hard.
Know? You know, I just don't know, you know, I think you have to be a special type person.
Well, it's really know? Hard, but I think, you know, if I'm going to pat ourselves on the back a little bit as an agency, having people as cheerleaders saying, you can do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're
okay.
really proud of you. The program also, the way we've designed it is we have a mandatory savings requirement. So they have to open a custodial savings account and put some amount, you know, there's no criteria on that. It's whatever you can put away,
mm-hmm.
but start
okay.
socking some money away so that at the end of the year of rental assistance, you have something to protect you for emergencies.
Right.
So, you know, we love the way we've designed the program. It'd be great to make it bigger, but we're limited by the amount of funding that we have. But
is that funding through the state or the federal government?
No, it's been through private corporations and private foundations. And, you know, it's very specialized. So, again, you know, we've already asked a lot of you when you're in a homeless shelter. Now that you're out, we're really asking you to do a lot. But what we've seen is some of our families just get that little bit of traction.
Mm-hmm.
And see the savings account just tick up just a little bit and get on the path towards a certification or maybe an associate's degree, see the potential for what they can make in terms of income. And I think it's incredibly powerful. We can't quantify this. You know, every funder wants results, right? I can't quantify this, but we're seeing it happen. Those children are watching mom go to school.
Right.
So now you have an incredible value on education
mm-hmm.
For them. And they're watching mom do something that's really, really hard that will make things better for their family. So I think that is so incredibly powerful.
Sure. I agree 100%. You know, having always been one that never really liked school, per se, but everybody used to tell me, oh, you know, you got so intelligent, you should go do this and do that. You should go to college and everything. What did I do? I graduated high school when I was 17 and joined the service. You know,
well, there's an education yeah. there.
It was an education in itself. Pardon me. But, you know, it's just, I think it's wonderful that kids in this situation see their parents, you know, or their single mom or whatever mm-hmm. the case may be, go to school, you know, because they want to better their lives and better their, you know, situation mm-hmm. with their family. And to see the kids see their mom do it and they say, gee, maybe, you know, I could do better in school or I could, you know, and, you know, whatever.
Right. They take away all the excuses for the kids, right?
Right.
You
Pretty
know,
much.
I did
you
it.
Know, right.
And, you know, I think that that's Pretty an much. Opportunity to really break that cycle of generational
right.
poverty that our moms are coming from in some cases. And then
That's
making
right.
sure that their children are seeing how important it is to
sure.
take that
Absolutely.
Extra step. So if we can do nothing but help them with rent for a year and cheer them on. It's just so exciting to watch them succeed.
I agree with you. I agree.
That's a lot of fun.
Do you have an email address or a phone number or a website or something like that, that if somebody was interested and want to?
Our phone number is 908-782-2490. And I would recommend anybody visit our website at familypromisehc.org, as in Hunterdon County. Mm-hmm. So that's familypromisehc.org. There's a lot of information there on our events, our programs, what we need in for our clients, volunteer opportunities. So I would recommend anybody who's interested just have a look around there. And they're always welcome to contact me. I'm Colleen, and I can be reached at Colleen, C-O-L-L-E-E-N, at familypromisehc.org.
And would you want to get the phone number again?
908-782-2490.
Well, Colleen, the time just flew by. But I really appreciate you coming on. I really do.
Thanks for having me, Larry. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about our program. Love what I do.
And we will do it again.
Okay.
You will come back.
I will
guarantee
come back.
You.
I would love that.
You've been listening to Mental Health Matters. And remember, folks, mental health really does matter. We won't be here next week because the chamber is closed because of the holiday being Saturday. So they're not having programs. So they're going to run rewinds next Monday. We'll be back in 2 weeks. So look for me then. Okay. Take care. And remember, mental health matters.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
What can you do as a member of Rotary? You can eradicate polio. You can promote peace. You can feed the hungry. You can help children do better in school. Because Rotary believes that by working together, you can do anything. This is District Governor Megan Jones Holt. Learn more about Rotary and join me every Monday at 11 a.m. on the Rotary Hour, the show that is dedicated to answering the ultimate question of what Rotary is. Find us on the web at rotarynj.org. Rotary, humanity in motion.
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. Convicted killer David Sweat is in serious condition after being shot by a New York State trooper near the Canadian border yesterday. An unidentified resident is happy the 3-week manhunt is over.
We'll feel calm and peaceful, but this has been going on for 3 weeks, and our whole town has been in an uproar and haven't been able to sleep. They were right on my road one night with a perimeter set up.
Fellow escapee Richard Matt was shot and killed Friday. The nuclear talks with Iran will probably go past tomorrow's deadline. AP correspondent George Yan says there are a number of serious sticking points.
The biggest hang-up, of course, is how open Iran must be in allowing the UN nuclear agency to go wherever it feels it needs to go to make sure that Tehran is adhering to its commitments under a deal.
Secretary of State John Kerry and representatives from other world powers are meeting with the Iranians in Vienna. This is USA Headline News.
Want a more colorful summer? Ask Sherwin-Williams and save 30% on paints and stains during the Great Summer Painting Party, June 21st through July 6th. With colors like Beach House, Julep, and Fireworks, summer never looked better. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams paint store and save 30% today. Find your nearest store at sherwinwilliams.com/sale. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
You're getting very sleepy.
Sleepy.
You're no longer afraid of bunnies.
bunnies.
You'll join my rewards program.
I'll join your... Wait, what?
50% off your fifth session. Huh? Focus on the value.
Value.
How about a rewards program you'll actually use every day? Finally, there's Plenty. Earn points at one place and use them at another. Sign up today at plentywithani.com for access to offers worth over $100 in savings. There's Plenty together. Terms and conditions apply.
There has been another shark attack off the coast of North Carolina.